Let me ask you a question. Have you ever considered how self-centeredness can feed the anxiety monster in our girls?
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a lot, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters, because the struggle is real. But guess what? You, my friend, are not alone. I'm one of your hosts, Janet Milan, and I'll be joined in just a minute by my friends, Shannon McKenzie and Dana Gresh. As a mom of a daughter, there's a lot to be concerned about. Confusing messages about womanhood, anxiety and depression, and a mounting number of young girls leaving the church. All of these lead back to our daughters meditating on untruth. It's easy to stress about keeping your daughter safe from the world's lies, but many of our efforts as moms are not enough. Today, we'll help you increase your and your daughter's trust in God and make Him the place of safety you both run to this summer. We'll invite you to participate in a 30-day mom-daughter walking experience that will keep your daughter safe in the care of God. Also, find out what Dana said out loud in the middle of the night last night, and Shani reveals how powerful pacing is in her life. And once again, I am a complete angel in this episode. We'll dive in momentarily, but first let me tell you about our upcoming True Girl subscription box, the Out of This World box. Mom, we know that teaching our tweens how to be set apart is not always easy because everyone has a desire to fit in, and that's okay. It's actually a God-given desire, but the desire He gives us is not so we can fit in this world, it's so we remember we only fit in the kingdom of God. Heaven is our home. So, next month, we're going to help you teach your daughter that very thing with the Out of This World box. We're sending you all the materials you'll need to do a mom-daughter galaxy craft together, including the jar, colorful paints, and glitter. Don't worry, moms, it's going to be fine, as well as a ton of other fun intergalactic items for your girl to enjoy. As always, we'll make sure we're pointing her back to God's Word with 8 memory verse cards and 2 months of daily devos that will encourage her to apply the truth she learns. And mom, remember to commemorate your mom-daughter date with that special little curated charm that we have in the box for your daughter. This box is a lot of fun and is packed with a lot of power. Head on over to mytruegirl.com at the link in our show notes to subscribe today. And now let's dive into today's podcast titled, Keeping Your Daughter Safe in the Care of God. All right, so let's talk about the mind games the world is playing with our girls. Shani, you have the microphone. Go for it.
Well, one of the big ones is linguistic theft. You just see it so much.
What is that?
So it's when we take a word that, you know, means this, and now we've changed it in society to mean something completely different, and we use it to incite, you know, anger and all sorts of foolishness that we
confusion,
see now.
Confusion
as well. And like tolerance. Mm-hmm. The word tolerance, right? Mm-hmm. It used to just mean, okay, well, we'll agree to disagree, but we can live peaceably.
And respect each other.
Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. But now tolerance is like, if you don't agree with me.
Approval.
It has to be the approval. Like mm-hmm. they are now considered synonymous.
Yeah.
And it's pervasive.
Yeah. One of the really places pervasive. This is really big, of course, is in gender stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The word woman.
Oh, yeah.
What does it mean to be a woman?
Redefining.
And if you ask that to the wrong person, those are fighting words.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You better know. And it's redefining, adding, here's a pronoun, and now we're adding.
I had a grandfather walk up to me last week. Sweet gentleman. I mean, just think of, he's like crumpled over a little bit from, you know, bones and sweetest spirit. And he said, I'm so thankful that you ladies are doing this True Girl thing. And I thought, well, I didn't expect that to come out of your mouth.
This True Girl thing.
But he said, I just talked to my granddaughter, who's 11 years old, mm-hmm. this week. And they had a health class where they introduced her to the concept of menstruating persons.
Oh, gosh.
Not a woman.
Not a woman.
Mm-hmm. But that it was... A people could do that,
mm-hmm.
and people can't. Only women can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's an example of linguistic theft, right?
Yeah.
Fighting really major battles.
Yeah.
And our daughters, like, imagine being 11 years old and hearing that from your teacher, who you respect.
Yeah. Well, we have certainly started this podcast off with some depth.
A bang.
We just went straight into it.
Light and fluffy. That's how we do
Shani it. Shani brings linguistic theft to the table right off the bat.
You're welcome. It's real.
I think one that bothers me is that the girls are being told, you know, you have the power within you. Uh-huh. That, like, you know, no matter who you are, what you do, you have the power. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. It's all in you. And that bothers me because, first of all, I know we can't do anything, first of all, because there's some things we just can't do. Mm-hmm. People, you know, we're limited people. But secondly, we can do all things through Christ. He gives us strength to obey him. We can do all those things. I can't do too much on my own.
Even that verse, you and I, one of our holy discontents is how people take verses out of context. And I know you're not doing that, but like
we use that
verse to tell them that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you can do all things through Christ. When in fact, he's sitting in a prison cell when he writes it, possibly facing execution. And he's like, here in this hard place, the thing I'm going to do is be content in Christ.
Yeah.
Because I can do it through Christ.
Through Christ. Mm-hmm. And even he wasn't saying I'm strong enough to handle this.
Exactly.
Kind of makes me think, Dana, too, in a couple of podcasts, you're going to be talking about Esther and that idea of you're born for such a time as this, which taken out of context makes it sound like it's all in you. Like you are going to be able to do whatever it is right now because of you. Like when we take it out of context, it can really make us think that we do have all the power in the whole world. And that's dangerous language.
Mm-hmm. It's dangerous language. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're saying that, one of the things that comes to my mind, because I've, as you know, I've been studying anxiety a lot the last few months. And one of the things that the world will do is say, hey, woman, girl, whoever they're writing to, you don't have to be anxious. Just imagine the future that you want. Imagine whatever you dream of happening and coming true. Stop thinking about the bad stuff. Don't think about the bad stuff.
Yeah.
In contrast, the scripture is the opposite. It's like, think about the bad stuff, but the power of God is there for you in that bad stuff. Like, I don't remember what psalm it is, but David's writing a psalm and he says, you know, if a whole army is camped around me and they're about to slay me, right there in that place, I'm going to feel the presence and the power of God. Mm-hmm. So the scripture actually says, well, imagine the bad things, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to equip you so that even if those bad things happen, you don't have to be afraid. And what a difference, right? And that's actually what we want to talk about today.
Awesome.
We want to talk about anxiety because right now it's crushing our daughters and we about to fight back.
Oh, yes.
We have a lot of products on mental health coming out. We just did the emoji box, which sold out.
Sold out.
I think that might be telling us that somebody needed it.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now podcasts and some things coming up. But the reason we're doing it is because they're saying that the average girl today scores so high on anxiety scales or tests that if it were like the 1950s, we would be placing her in inpatient treatment.
Wow.
But right now we're just saying, oh, that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Keep, go about your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're here to tell you that just because something's normal doesn't mean it's okay. It is certainly not God's best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And one of the many things that bothers me, one of them, is that sometimes the solutions we hear that will work for our girls are like pretty superficial. They don't they're like wide but not deep.
Right.
Yeah, like positive self-talk or self-affirmations or, you know, you stand in front of the mirror and you say all the things to yourself, all the good things, right?
Yeah,
we're very self-focused.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I am enough.
Right. I've got what it takes.
Right.
I deserve to be happy.
I will follow my heart.
I love it when we Christianize them. God just wants you to be happy.
Yeah, right. That's it. Whatever it is.
You know what? We could dissect those. I was reading about 2 years ago, I was reading a study that psychologists had undertaken to figure out, you know, what effect do these words have on us when we say them to ourselves? And they don't work. They were surprised that they discovered that they didn't actually work. But here's what I also found at that time. There were individuals who spoke to themselves way back in antiquity, but the words that they spoke were so different from the words we're telling our daughters to speak today that they did actually work. And that's the psalmist. It looked really different. It works. And I believe that the way that they talk to themselves can work for our daughters today. Because it's in God's word, and God's word works. And I'm eager for moms to learn this concept and teach it to their daughters.
All right, Dana, sounds like we're going to walk away with some really amazing truth to help our daughters get through anxious times in victory.
So my favorite example of a psalmist who talked to himself is probably David in Psalm 42. Shani, can you go ahead and read verse 5?
Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want you to notice two things. When David talked to himself, and why? Why David talked to himself when? He talked to himself when he was feeling cast down or depressed. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? I believe there's been an incredible increase in anxiety and depression right now. So there are a lot of people in the when that need to talk to themselves the way that the psalmist did. And many of us have been at war to keep our souls from just being downcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever felt depressed where your face feels, the skin on your face feels weighty, like heavy. That's what I think David was maybe describing. He felt downcast. I experienced this a few years ago. For nearly 9 months, I woke up really suddenly. In fact, you guys, I did this last night. I'm still having problems with it. I was sick, and there's some melatonin disruption in my brain. And when it first happened, I didn't know what to do with it. But a few minutes after I fall asleep, I just wake up terrified. And I'm not afraid of anything specifically. I'm just terrified of almost everything. That's when sentences run through my head. You can't do it. You're in over your head. You're not strong enough. God isn't doing what you've pleaded with him to do. You are all alone in this. Christians shouldn't struggle with anxiety. What is wrong with your faith? You know, all those things run through my head. Rabbit trail. I believe Jesus struggled with anxiety. Mm-hmm. In the Garden of Eden, when he said, "Let this cup pass from me." Yes. Because the definition of anxiety is worry and fear about an upcoming event that hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So Jesus felt anxiety. I don't think anxiety is a sin because he created our emotions and they're good. Mm-hmm. I mean, anxiety is what makes us study for a test, right? So when your daughter feels a little anxious and it gets her to do her homework, that's not a bad thing. But then the anxiety should go away because it's done its job. Well, Jesus didn't let that fear, that anxiety, get in the way of him going to the cross. But he felt it. So it's not a sin. I want to say that very clearly.
Hey, hang on there, Dana, for a second. Because I'm sure lots of people just were like, wait, what? When you said about you think Jesus was anxious.
Yeah.
Let's hash that out a little bit more. Because I know we've talked, you know, in the past, and we talked about anxiety, how Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. Mm-hmm. So it must be possible, like it's a command to not be anxious.
Right.
How do you reconcile that? How does that work if you're saying Jesus was anxious, but Scripture's saying, do not be anxious?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I think Jesus experienced anxiety, which I think could be different if I'm really wordsmithing. If I was writing this, I probably wouldn't say Jesus was anxious, and that may have been what I just said. But I think if I was writing it, I would say Jesus experienced anxiety. And I first heard this from Jenny Allen because she just wrote a book recently on emotions, and I've been listening to some of her podcasts and interviews on it, and what she says is really good. And so many times we experience undue guilt or shame because we struggle with something. And I think anxiety is one area where Christians sometimes are feeling that embarrassment that they're struggling. I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to overcome everything. And so for her to say that, first of all, for me personally, I was like, oh, what a sweet thought that Jesus felt what I'm feeling in the middle of the night when I feel terrified. Mm-hmm. He felt that, and to a greater degree, because I'd not sweat blood yet in my life. So that's not happened. But have you heard anything in defense of that? I actually, when Jenny said it for the first time, I was like, I don't know what I think about that. So I grabbed, I went on Amazon and I looked up her book really fast because I wanted to know. And she did have the research to back it, the language study of the word. So have you heard any other speakers talk about that?
Yeah, I actually, I'm reading a book currently. It's called The Garden Within, Dr. Anita Phillips. And she's a sound Bible teacher, but she's also a psychologist. Mm. And she was speaking about Jesus in the garden, and she used that very word, anxiety. Mm. But then she was talking about that physiological response. And Don't make me say what it's called because I will give you the wrong term.
The sweating blood?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an osis in it.
Mm-hmm. There's an osis in it. But but that was the expression of that anxiety in his body. And she actually likened it to Hebrews 4:15, and it's the verse that says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." So it's kind of like what you're talking about, Dana. Like he experienced it, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet, you know, without sin. And just knowing we have a Savior who, he knows what we felt, he's felt what we felt, but he sinned not.
I wonder if it's like anger.
Now take
be
it
angry
and
sin
it.
Not
right
like yeah, I wonder if it can be like not, that like it's not saying it's definitely not saying be anxious, but it's like,
and it's something to look further into.
Well, for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do when we hear anybody teach anything in the Word.
You're being a Berean.
We check it out with the Word. But it also, to me, when I'm hearing you guys explain it, thank you for explaining that, it sounds like an identity issue. So I can be afraid, but when I am full of fear, it becomes my identity.
Yes.
So I can feel something in a moment, but when it becomes what I'm consumed with, it's who I am. And that's when... that's when things, I can feel sad, but when I become full of sadness, it's just who I am. It's what I identify as all the time. And there's a big difference in that. So thank you. You can carry on.
You know
with
what?
Your...
But I mean, on the other side of that coin, because I've heard you have a beautiful testimony of overcoming anxiety and it's blessed me so much. And I could quote you right now, but you're sitting here, so I won't. Because I've listened to the things over and over again. I've read some of what you've written about it over and over again. It's been so healing to me. And I do think you convinced me that left unchecked, anxiety can become sinful. Right? So how would you verbalize that?
Well, I mean, I can speak from my own experience. When I was consumed with anxiety, I was choosing to believe that God wasn't who he said he was. I was choosing to believe that his character and what it says in the scripture isn't true. That when it says God's always with us, it's not true. That it says God's loving, it's not true. I was choosing to believe lies about God, which in my mind, when I'm choosing to believe a lie about God and I'm living that out, I'm walking in sin. To me, that's it can turn into that, and then I become completely self-absorbed. Which is not how I'm supposed to live at all.
It does become about us, doesn't it?
It's
good. It's nuanced, isn't it? These conversations have to be so nuanced. You can't silo out a Bible verse and be like, this is what it says, and that's what it means. You've got to look at the whole counsel of Scripture.
And ideally, this podcast that we create is to get women to say, hey, well, I don't know what I think about that. And they dive into scripture for themselves. Like this is a spur. This is meant to be a spur.
Because we'd be in such a better place if we did that.
Okay. You can go back to your teaching now, Dana. I'm good.
Our emotions do have a voice. Do you know what I'm saying? Have your emotions, has anxiety ever said sentences like that to you?
Yeah. And they're, well, it's interesting. I was thinking about what you just, those things you just said, like God isn't doing this, God's not with me or whatever, and how it gets really personal when it switches from like, I'm not enough to God is not enough. Because when it shifts, like, okay, yeah, I'm not enough, you know, in and of myself, but to go to directly to our Creator, to say God is not enough, those voices, those can stir some deep emotions and often can really point to some deep pain in our lives.
Absolutely. And that pain needs to be dealt with. It needs to be grieved. It needs to be mourned. It needs to be healed. But we don't have to listen to those voices in our head. It's almost like a podcast flips on in those moments, and it's the podcast you don't want to listen to. There's this ancient pastor. Well, he was alive during the Great Depression, during World War II in London. And he said, most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. So you got to stop listening to that podcast. When David felt unhappy, he talked to himself. Why? Why did he do it? When his emotions went rogue, he talked to himself to remind himself what is true. Listen, this is what Shani just read a moment ago. Put your hope in God, yet I will praise him, my God and my Savior. he's not speaking positive affirmations about himself or to himself. He's turning his focus off of himself and turning it on to God.
Dana, this is wild because it reminds me of in Lamentations, probably the most famous scripture of Lamentations because of the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. But I love how before it goes into Great is Thy Faithfulness in Lamentations 3, it's going through all these hard things. And then it says, but this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. And it goes into how great God is. And that's exactly what you're talking about, turning your focus on the Lord. So it sounds like what you're saying is to combat stress and anxiety. One way to combat stress and anxiety is, like, we often tell ourselves how great we are to overcome it. And our daughters are constantly invited to do that too, everywhere. But the psalmists, when they were anxious, were reminding themselves of how great God is. And that's a powerful tool.
It is a powerful tool. And when I started to discover it, and it's so interesting that you see it in Lamentations. I mean, Lamentations. It, the skill is all through the scriptures. And we just are so self-focused, I think, that we sometimes don't even see it, this gift that God's put in writing for us. And I decided, though, 2 years ago when I started having this melatonin problem, I'm going to talk to myself the way the psalmist did. I'd heard that Martin Lloyd-Jones quote, and I was like, I'm going to do this. But I found out that it was hard work. It didn't happen easily. I used Psalm 91 to practice. In fact, funny thing, I didn't at first intend it, but I actually memorized all of Psalm 91. Because what I would do is I would be like, okay, last night was a bad night. I got 3 hours of sleep because of the fear. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to meditate on Psalm 91, and then I'm going to go for a walk. Because I thought, if I walk, I'm going to be too tired to be awake at night, right? I'm going to fall into a hard sleep. Well, what happened is I meditated and then I walked and I ended up memorizing whatever I was thinking about. And I didn't, I researched it. I'm like, I've never been able to memorize scripture. What is happening to me? Is this supernatural? Well, kind of, but not really. Turns out when you walk, it triggers the hippocampus of the brain, and that is the memory part of the brain, fires up. So if your kid is having trouble with times tables or spelling, walk while you practice with them. It will help greatly. And it just was amazing how easily I memorized the psalm after that experience. It was incredible, magical.
I love brain data, Dana, because you've learned a lot about the brain over the years. Brain data, Dana teaches us so much.
That's how I actually memorize the script when we have our events.
The True Girl script.
I walk. You could ask, like, they'll see me in the back and I have
pace.
To pace.
I have seen you pacing with the script in your hand.
Yeah.
So I've seen that.
When you said that, when you told us that, I was like,
I think the body craves it. The body knows what we don't.
The body's that's like, so amazing to me.
Yeah. And Shani, that must be how you also memorize phone calls, because that's how you talk on the phone. But thank you, Dana. But I digress. Dana, you just said that you memorized Psalm 91.
Yeah.
So the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Yes. Say some of it.
Well, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And it goes on with such hope. The verse that called me to that particular psalm was, it actually says, you will not fear the terror of night. That's why I memorized it, because I was drawn to that. I wanted to not fear what was frightening me at night.
Okay, so did it help?
It did. And it helped really quickly. Honestly, the day that I walked, I felt more at peace. And within about a week, little benefit, my clothes were fitting better. And I wasn't like hardcore working out or changing the way I was.
We'll but take all the benefits. I was like,
forget not.
But in about 5 weeks, I was sleeping pretty soundly. And when I did wake up anxious, like I did last night, because I still have that problem, I just quote the psalm out loud. Last night, Bob's sick right now, so I was sleeping downstairs. And I didn't have to do it under my breath or in my head. I just said it right out loud to the I was like, I am fighting this. It was wonderful.
Well, Dana, every time you learn something, you're always really generous with what you've learned. So tell us what you did with that information, because I know you shared it.
You know, I just would tell people, this is amazing, because I was learning scripture and I never had success with that before. And then I was like, I'm overcoming anxiety. And I felt a little, honestly, you talk about linguistic theft. I don't know if this fits into that, but like we have used so many of the world's tools to help ourselves with anxiety that I think we've forgotten God's tools. And I'm not against the world's tools. I should have stock in marriage therapy, because I would be a wealthy woman. I believe in those tools. And I do want to say this too. Sometimes our daughters are struggling with an anxiety that requires medical intervention. That's a reality. And I'm not opposed to that. I've used that with some in my own family. But I think most of what we're struggling with, the majority of us are struggling with a generalized anxiety that doesn't necessarily need that significant of an intervention. And so we're using all the things like walking and exercising and even talking to ourselves, but we're not using the truth of God's word. So I met this girl in Colorado. I met her mom, and her mom was actually a trauma therapist in a public school. And she was just comatose over the fact that her daughter had a trauma she couldn't seem to help with. And the trauma was this: the little girl really believed that someone was going to sneak into her bedroom and steal her. She believed it with all her heart. She couldn't sleep at night. She was terrified. Of course, I think you will not fear the terror of night. And I look at this mom and I'm like, where is your daughter? It was a snow day on that day. It was like January or something. I said, we have to go see your daughter. And my husband looks at me like, Dana being spontaneous? What is this? Why don't, you guys know. I'm not spontaneous. We drove over to her house. I listened to her story. She told me some really intimate details about her fear. And then I told her about my battles and memorizing Psalm 91. And I encouraged her to do the same thing. And then I prayed over her and left. Well, many weeks later, her mom sent me a photo of her sweet daughter sleeping peacefully. And she said, I can't believe I'm a trauma therapist. And I almost can't believe I'm saying this to you, but it works. Wow. Memorizing the word and using it, she went to bed with a tool that when she did feel those fears, she could say these words out loud, and it worked. And it could work for, I think it can work, if it can work for that girl and me, it can work for you too and your daughter.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, we're in the summer. I know, you know, we're looking for things to do with our children, but this, the meat of this, Dana, the weight of this, because so many of our girls are struggling with this, and a lot of the moms are struggling with this as well, right? It makes me want to almost like declare a summer challenge to hide God's word in us, like as a mechanism to create that space, like a safe space for our minds and for our girls.
Well, as you know, I am a step ahead of you on that, Shani.
Great. You always are.
So we depend on you for that, Dana.
Yeah, thank you.
But first, if you were to design a memory challenge this summer for you and your girls, because the verse that I went to is really perfect for me. I think it'll be perfect for a lot of people. But what verses would you use to combat your own personal, let's call them battles of the mind?
I think for me with my daughter who lives at home, knowing what she's personally battling and has a lot to do with belonging and connection and God's closeness to her, I would probably go to the verse I've been praying over her since we adopted her, which is out of Hosea. I won't read all of it, but I would probably encourage her to memorize this, kind of inserting her name in there a little bit. And maybe some people aren't cool with that, but it can be a really powerful way to pray scripture.
Yes.
But it would be like, I will be like the dew to Eve. She shall blossom like the lily. She shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. Her shoot shall spread out. Her beauty shall be like the olive and her fragrance like Lebanon. And then on and on. And that's probably what I would encourage her to memorize to combat.
And as she becomes familiar with what all those things mean, what the olive branch and the trees of Lebanon, what all those things mean, she starts to discover the strength of who God is and the strength of who she is. That's the power of memorization and meditation, is it gets us into an understanding of the passage. And it's such a great tool. What about you, Shani?
You know, for us, my oldest really kind of has this mindset where the weight of the world is on her shoulders and she has to do it all. And then she gets in the cycle where she's frustrated because she can't. And we're standing there and saying, hey, let us know where you need help. Hey, you're not going to be able to do all these things and it's okay. And then she becomes the perfectionist and it's just this vicious cycle. I think the verse that I would use for her is casting all your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him for he cares for you, like that she knows she can like throw them on him, like cast there isn't like, here you go, I'm just gonna lay this out. It's like, you know, like you're casting the net, like throw all of that stuff on him and he'll show you how to handle it, you know, and you have people around you who are like, hey,
we and got if she you. Were to take the pass, if she were to take the verses around it mm-hmm. and have greater understanding about what that meant, she would just rise up in the power of it. I really mm-hmm. believe that. So mm-hmm. here's my challenge, and I'm issuing it to everyone who hears my voice. Mm-hmm. Take any passage of scripture, not one verse, but a chunk of a passage of scripture, and take about 30 days and walk and meditate on that passage. Mm-hmm. Don't try to memorize it if you don't want to. If that's not your thing, don't do it. But I promise you that if you just meditate on it and think about it and walk, you're going to start to see it really clearly. You're going to understand it. You're going to enter into the depth. The Bible says deep calls to deep. Like mm-hmm. there's this deepness to God that cries out for us to know it. And you don't know it with a passing glance at his word. You don't know it when the pastor reads it out loud to you on church on Sunday. You know it when you enter into the power of it. But I've also developed a more formalized study of Psalm 91 since that was so powerful for me. And I designed it for adult women, but it's completely appropriate to do with your girls. And it'll change your life. It really will. It will help you win a battle of your mind. And of course, I know because I did it. I practiced this art of talking to myself for 30 days, and it's just been such an intimacy encounter with Jesus, right? Which makes mm-hmm. sense. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Jesus mm-hmm. is the Word. Yeah. When you meditate on Scripture, you're becoming intimate with Jesus, and it is a life changer.
I can't wait.
Hey, you can join us for that 30-day walk. I'm calling it the Holy Girl Walk. And this experiment truly has been one of the sweetest I've ever known. It changed me. And I invite you to try it with me using my limited series, Holy Girl Walk Podcast on Psalm 91 and the various social media prompts that you're going to see on True Girl channels as well as the Dana Gresh channels. So follow True Girl on Instagram and Facebook. Make sure you get those. And this month only for a donation of any amount to support True Girl and our mission to bring moms and daughters closer to Jesus and closer to each other. We're going to mail you a copy of a book I wrote to help you in that Holy Girl Walk. It's titled Calm Anxious Thoughts, a 28-day Bible memory guide to Psalm 91. It'll kickstart your daily memory work and your walk. So it's really simple, three things. This is how it works. Walk every day. Select one Bible verse a day to meditate on and memorize while you walk. I can guide you through Psalm 91 day by day with that memory guidebook, but you don't need it if you don't want it. You can do it on your own. And while you're at it, teach your girl and yourself the importance of hydration, because what's good for your body is good for your soul. And listen, there is incredible research that links anxiety and a lack of hydration. So drink your water, girls. Get the links to the walking podcast and the downloadable Holy Girl Walk Psalm 91 Scripture Memory Journal by making a donation of any amount this month to True Girl. And for that gift, we will ship you the printed journal. It's that easy. Find the link in the show notes. Hope to see you grabbing your walking shoes this summer and joining us for the Holy Girl Walk.
Join us next month on the True Girl Momcast when we talk about how when our daughters don't fit in, well, sometimes that's actually a good thing because we are aliens and strangers in this world.